All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:40 p.m. on Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-20-87, Quest Corporation. And I don't have any opening comments other than welcome. It's good to have you on, Commissioner Fedorchak.
I don't have any opening comments either.
Okay, and Commissioner Christman is the portfolio holder. Before I turn it over to you, we also have Victor Shook from staff, Patrick Fond from staff, and Brian Johnson from staff present as well. And since this is an informal hearing, it involves only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we'll immediately close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in this type of proceeding, but first I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Christman, again, the portfolio holder, for any opening comments, and then you can take it from here.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to acknowledge whether or not I could explain this. I'm just going to let the company explain it. But first of all, I will say that PIDs and PAP, it's not some new candy. It's not a new app like Snapchat or TikTok or something like that. It's actually kind of old acronyms that the issue that we're dealing with is some requirements on the company that are, if not outdated, are nearing being outdated because of new techniques. And PIDs are performance indicator definitions. And the PAP is their performance assurance plan. And these are, I believe, FCC requirements, and we adopt some of those things. So I didn't catch, though. I wish if Jason or Andy or Kent or someone would go through and repeat the names of I have Kent Blickensdorfers, but repeat the names of the other two, and then whoever's going to explain the situation. Go right ahead.
All right. This is Jason Topp, and I have on with me Andy Schreiner. Andy signed the petition, so there's a reference for you in addition to Kent. And I'll be happy to explain what we're seeking here.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think Commissioner Christman is properly referencing that these are pretty dated requirements. They went into place at the time that, at that time, Quest Corporation was seeking authority to provide long-distance service. There were a whole series of requirements for obtaining that authority from the FCC, one of which is that in our wholesale contracts with competitive local exchange carriers, or CLEX, that there be some measurements and some performance standards and some remedies available in the event that our wholesale service, the CLEX, was worse than the service we provided to our retail customers. That plan is the performance assurance plan that we're discussing today. The precise measurements for measuring compliance or the performance indicators definition. So that's where you get the acronyms of PAP and PID. The way these work is we have these plans, they're incorporated into our interconnection agreements, and there have been times that FCC requirements have changed over the years, and by its terms, what happens is we go to the relevant state commissions, propose the changes to those plans. Once the commission makes a decision regarding those proposed changes, whatever is approved winds up flowing automatically into all the interconnection agreements with CLEX and the state. The last changes I think we made were in 2014, so it's been some time. But in 2019, the FCC issued some rulings eliminating requirements related to unbundled loops, which are basically facilities to get to individual locations and resale obligations. Because there are a whole bunch of measurements in the PIDs and PAP related to those services, we need to adjust that those documents to get rid of them. And so we put together a proposal on what exactly needed to be eliminated. We floated that with the CLECs, and typically on these things, Doug Danny, who was at Integra, is now at Altel, and has kind of been the key CLEC representative on these issues, signed off on the changes that were proposing to be made. We filed those in each of the 14 states that Quest Corporation originally operated in. I have responsibility for North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. Got an approval in South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. There hasn't been an objection to these modifications. Not aware of any objection to these modifications in North Dakota, and would simply ask that the commission approve the changes we have requested.
Andy, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
No, I think Jason explained it much better than I could have.
Patrick or Victor, questions? Comments?
I think just, so this is Victor Shook from staff. Just to kind of break it down a little bit more simply, I think the more simplified way to look at this, I mean, really what we're talking about, what you're requesting from us is some changes to your terms and conditions for your customers, not necessarily retail customers, but customers that you're reselling services to and those that are purchasing the unbundled loops. I think that's kind of the short way to describe this, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. And along with what the FCC has said you can start doing. So my take on what the FCC said is that in the past, you were required to provide unbundled loops if they were requested, and you were required to allow resale of access to your customers and lines. And
yep.
Now they're saying you don't have to do that anymore. We recognize the world is changing, and I agree with all of that. I mean, it's the FCC, so that they're going to say what they're going to say. So they're saying you no longer have to do that, but what they are saying is you have to still sign new contracts through February of 2020, which is now in the past, and then whatever contracts you have in place can stay in place until, I believe it's August of 2022. Sound correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then the part I get a little bit fuzzy on is after that date, can you still provide those services?
So we certainly could. We are not required to do so.
Sure.
And so the change will happen kind of in two ways. One, there's this, or in a few ways. Number one, we're getting rid of this, the measurements and the performance assurance plans, and that's what we're seeking today. The second thing that will happen is that our interconnection agreements need to be amended to eliminate the terms related to the sale of these products. And those, we may have already filed some of those in North Dakota, but there'll be some interconnection agreement amendments that will be filed, and that will sort of be the second piece of this. It is entirely possible we'll continue to offer these services through some sort of commercial arrangement, but that would be a unregulated type of offering and negotiated sort of on a commercial basis independent of this process.
Okay, that makes sense. And I kind of agree with what you were saying. I just wanted to make sure your understanding was the same as what mine was. So
yep.
Just kind of going through the change, I'm going through the red line version. So this is Appendix 3B of your filing. It's a nice red line version of here's exactly what we're requesting commission to allow us to change. And, you know, there's various things in there, but most of them seem to be around where, you know, product used to say resale and now it's saying existing resale services. And I'm assuming you're wanting to make that change simply to signify if you're already on this, this is still the rule, but we're probably not going to be doing this going forward. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's fine. Just trying to be clear on.
And Vic, I'd just like to interrupt and make sure that I'm understanding your point correctly and Jason's point. So were the requirement that holds over into 2022, whatever month you said, those customers will not be impacted by this? The old guidances or requirements continue on through until that point in 2022?
I don't know about, so to some degree. So I just want to make sure this part is clear. So I think Quest is asking us here to change some of those requirements for some of those existing contracts. But the bigger thing, what the FCC said is they no longer have to provide this service after that date. They can if they want to, but they don't have to.
Right.
And I think Quest doesn't really want to. And that's certainly up to them because they're not required to going forward. But I don't think I'd be comfortable saying that they're not changing any terms or requirements for those existing contracts.
If they have to provide the service through 2022, why would we be changing the terms of a contract that someone is entitled by FCC requirement to have access to from them and that they agreed to?
Sure. Jason, can you answer? Speak to that?
Yeah. So the way that the performance assurance plan works is that you make changes to. And so what we're talking about here are not the terms and conditions of what exactly needs to be offered. These are measuring our compliance with federal requirements of non-discrimination for some services we're offering. These are measurements that are included in these interconnection agreements. Those are being eliminated by this request. And the reason they're being eliminated is because the FCC's requirements associated with them are going away. It's a non-controversial item. It's something that's, the CLEX have agreed is an appropriate modification. They're the ones that would be impacted.
This is Pat Fawn. I have a question for you. The customers that can continue under their existing interconnection agreements for these services, why wouldn't the commission want you to continue to not to discriminate between yourselves and them until the end of 2022?
I think that's appropriate, but there are requirements in the agreement regarding how those services are offered. This is a question about whether we're going to have this plan and measurements and that sort of thing associated with any agency.
Right. I guess so. My question is, why wouldn't we keep the performance indicator definitions and the plan until the end of 2022, because
in the most instances, these measurements relate to provisioning these sorts of services, and that's not something that's going to continue to happen. It doesn't make any sense to continue to have these measurements in place.
Well, doesn't it make sense to have them in place until August of 2022?
I would argue it does not. You've got the requirements are gone. We're talking about very low volumes of this type of stuff, and you've got no controversy.
Okay, so that was kind of one of the other questions I had was, And what is the status of these services in North Dakota? Are you providing these services today?
Yes. Yeah, so we're providing the services pursuant to the interconnection agreement. It's a relatively low volume, and I'm sorry, I don't have exact numbers in front of me, but I know that the remedy amounts and the payment amounts associated with it are quite small. I don't know the North Dakota number, but I do know in South Dakota, the total payment for 2019 were $142.
And those are remedies under the Performance Assurance Plan?
Yeah, that was in South Dakota. And North Dakota is more than that, but I can't tell you exactly what the number is. I don't have that with.
And those are payments you're making to the CLEX because your performance hasn't been up to the level where you would not make payments.
That means that in a very isolated number of instances, we miss particular repair commitments or installation intervals. But this was a plan designed to regulate what at that time was a very major part of the telecommunications offering, and now it is a very minor piece.
Would you say that you're providing these services out of every central office, every CenturyLink central office in North Dakota?
I would say we offer them. I mean, I don't think that the interconnection agreement limits it, but to the extent they're actually ordered, I don't have that information.
You had mentioned that South Dakota amount of $142. Can you provide the North Dakota amount and just file it later?
Yep.
Sure. Thank you.
To be clear, the number isn't how much Quest is receiving in payments for these services they're providing. This is how much Quest had to pay back for not meeting certain requirements.
Yep. That
is correct. This seems straightforward to me, but I'm not sure that I'm really understanding two things, what the requirements are and what the services are. So where are these standards listed?
So the requirements are under the Section 251 of the Telecommunications Act federally. There are requirements, the FCC lists certain things that incumbent carriers are required to offer to competitive carriers. The two services, and so there's a list that was developed, in the late 90s. It's been altered over time based on changes in the marketplace. And the change that happened in 2019 was to eliminate resale services. And resale services are essentially CenturyLink retail services, a competitive local exchange carrier is entitled to sell those to their customers and pay CenturyLink the retail price minus a certain discount. And so that's sort of a complete service that goes to the customer. The other service that has gone away is analog loop. And so that's an analog loop is the wire that connects the home telephone to the local central office, essentially. And so that has been eliminated as well. And a lot of, that was as an unbundled network element. And the significance of that is that the pricing, there are a whole series of requirements regarding the pricing under which that would be offered. So those are the two things that the FCC has said no longer needs to be offered And that's why we're seeking to have our performance plan altered to get rid of those particular amendments.
Okay. All right. And as far as the stand, the performance standards, those are the same thing?
Yeah, so those are measurements. So there'll be, you know, measurements of on-time performance, and you compare our retail performance to our wholesale performance. Or other times there's benchmark standards where, for instance, a line that is ordered needs to be installed within 2 days or needs to be installed on the due date, whatever that is. And so there are very complex measurements that have been developed through negotiation and commission proceedings to try and measure whether that performance is adequate.
And
so
all
here, because the obligation to provide is going away, we're seeking that those measurements go away as well.
Okay. That makes sense.
When did the FCC eliminate the requirements?
So it was in 2019. There are two different FCC orders. They're referenced in our petition. Let's see if I can get back up to it. I think one was in July of 2019, and the other one was in August of 2019.
How is this communicated to customers, or is it essentially a non-issue that happens behind the scenes?
Well, this is what happens behind the scenes. It'll be up to the CLECs if they want to make alternate arrangements regarding how they're going to serve their end user customers. So it would be up to the CLECs to decide how they're going to communicate. CLECs have received a series of communications related to this, and then we've reached out to them. We're also working with them to amend our interconnection to reflect these changes.
Okay, thank you.
I think my probably last question is this. You mentioned a person who I think you referred to him or her is often a CLEC representative that had signed off on the modifications.
Yep.
Talk to me a little more about that. What gives me comfort that that person actually represents the other CLECs?
Well, Doug Denny was with AT&T and then was with Integra and was with Alltel, and just sort of as a practical matter, kind of stepped into the role of representing CLECs in these negotiations. Nobody else has communicated at all in response to our proposed changes. Many CLECs have signed the amendments already to implement these changes, which suggests that there's not any opposition, but to make sure that there, you know, there wasn't controversy, we reached out to Mr. Denny, we did attach as appendix 2 to our petition, just sort of his email confirming he had some nits, but made clear that they were not going to oppose this change.
Okay. I don't have anything.
But Doug has been the CLEC representative negotiating both the original plans and all of the modifications. There have been others that have been involved, but as the CLEC industry has relied less and less on our services, you know, most CLECs that are out there today are cable companies that have their own facilities. You know, the voices that are out there concerned about these issues have greatly diminished.
Okay.
So this is Victor. The one question I guess I had on Mr. Denny's response is he was saying, I don't think we're in complete agreement on OP5B. And I was trying to look through through this, and I couldn't discern what OP5B was. I could find OP5, but there was no reference to a B in there anywhere.
I'm not the greatest at digging into these, but let me see if I can. I cannot tell you from this filing. I would decipher that there may have been a piece of the modification that he might not have fully agreed with, but did not wasn't important enough to object to.
Yep, he did say that we'll have a. He doesn't believe it'll have a material impact, so. It doesn't sound like it's of great concern, and we did search. We didn't receive any requests for hearing for this case, and there was no public input either. But otherwise, I don't have any problems with the filing. It gets a little bit technical. Actually, as we were going through the last few minutes of discussion, I realized this is kind of a different version of the electric utilities speak with all of the acronyms and talking about CLEX and PIDs and PAPs, and to the average person, that's just going to sound like gibbledygook. So,
yep.
Yeah, it brings back nightmares for me. I mean, I spent 10 years in hearing from
them. Oh, no, we're living the dream.
I believe you're providing a piece of information for Commissioner Crisman. And so I guess as long as you are doing that, maybe you could provide us with OP5B so we can take a look at it and see what that relates to.
Yep. Okay.
Anything else from staff?
That's all.
I'm good.
I don't have anything either.
I don't have anything else.
Jason, did you have anything else you wanted to add? I think everybody here has pretty well asked our questions.
Okay. No, I appreciate the time, and we'll file this follow-up information, and we'll appreciate your decision on this matter.
Okay, thank you, and I'll turn it back to the chairman. He'll have a question or two for you here yet. So thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
All right. Well, again, thank you. Really appreciate the conversation this afternoon. I have a quick question for you. Would the North Dakota amount that we're looking for, that's not considered evidence until we actually receive it, correct? Do I need to make note of that? Okay. Well, then in that case, the audio recording is now considered evidence. Is there any objection to the audio recording becoming a part of evidence, the evidence upon which a decision will be reached from staff?
No objection from staff.
Okay. And then from the company, any objection?
No objection.
Okay. Then the audio recording is now entered in as evidence, and again, to be used in the decision-making process. I don't have anything else at this point in time. So again, thank you so much. Appreciate you getting on the call and explaining this to us. We are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.